Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up, the what's up, on the welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horton, what is happening? Wow. I guess the markets decided they changed their mind. They don't want to go down. They went up. And, of course, really, what we're seeing here is what we always like to call the torture of consolidation, or a market that is consolidating, always a challenge, and makes for a much tougher trade. I think that is something that you have to really focus on and learn from, that we're really just in this big old trading range, and not to get too excited one way or the other. Again, this is where a lot of innocent victims of the markets get trapped, because they get confused and they try to chase the markets. And one thing we know for sure is you cannot chase markets. If you chase markets, you are most likely going to lose. So we want to make sure that we have a good understanding, but absolutely a monster move yesterday. And, you know, it's just a big number that, you know, hey, it happens. But, you know, if you look at the picture, where is the real growth coming from? And that is something that is much more concerning than the overall stock market going up. And for those of you who believe in the markets, I have no problem. I believe in the markets too. But I believe there's a point in time where this financial engineering will have a penalty to pay. And this is something that I'm very concerned about. With the overall picture, again, you know, I always badmouth the Fed because I think that they do a lousy job, but this is becoming, again, more serious as the days go on, and is creating more havoc, although we don't really see it. But when you've got, you know, guys like Lockhart coming out and saying one thing, they always give you mixed messages. And that is, you know, something that, you know, we have to worry about, that with the markets themselves, you know, the engineering is becoming just a disastrous problem, because, again, real economies are about growth. And that's what we're not seeing in this market, is growth. We're seeing the stock market grow, but is it really? OK, and that is something that, you know, you have to, you know, focus on and look for, because at the end of the day, OK, what have we seen here? We see bad retail sales. Now, everybody can say, well, everybody's going to Amazon. And again, they are. But the general, the overall numbers are lower. I was on Varney yesterday, and they were talking about Amazon and how great it is. And I go, I'm not saying it's not great. Believe me, they do a great job. I believe that Amazon is going to have a lot of trouble at some point, because I believe they're severely overvalued. And I think they're very much forgiven for whatever reason. Why are they the exception to the rule? I don't have that answer. Okay. But they do a tremendous business, and they're willing to jump in just about to into any business, and God bless them. I mean, again, I don't have any problem with free markets and capitalism. You know that, right? So Bezos has done a good job, and he's getting a little guff from Trump right now about his ownership of the Washington Post. But at the end of the day, okay, I believe the stock is severely overvalued. Okay, you just can't support numbers that has. Okay. And, but again, I can't tell you it's going to go down from here, right? I mean, if you lived through the internet crisis of the 90s and the early 2000s, then you know that there's no set telling how high something can go, okay? But what we do know is when it decides that that's it, it will be a quick trip. But again, I'm not telling you not to be in. I'm not telling you to sell it. I'm just saying, hey, it's one to be careful with. And certainly, if I didn't have money in it, which I do not, but if I didn't have any, I would not be adding new money here. Okay. And that is something that I would certainly warn against, is bringing new money into the Amazon table. I think you're buying something that is severely overvalued. I think there's a lot better buys out there, unless you're a short term momentum trader and you try to grab on and pick up a quick 10, 12 points. That's one thing. But, you know, again, these will all suffer eventually from the overload of the, you know, the Fed and the financial engineering. Okay, because again, it's not something that's going to go away. And what we don't see in retail is we don't see really new sales. We don't see companies able to survive. Okay, we see the major retailers all struggling dramatically and in danger of going out of business, in danger of bankruptcy. And it's not, you know, again, when you've got a company like Amazon that's willing to do anything, and they're going to, you know, Amazon is trying to be what Walmart was to brick and mortar. I don't know, how long ago was it now? 30 years ago? And I don't remember when they really spread out. I mean, forever they were, you know, in Bentonville, Arkansas, and down in that area. And then they just, one day, there was just Walmart everywhere. And they've done one hell of a job. I mean, you know, they got a great business model. They build. They stick it to their vendors. Okay, and you know they don't need to borrow money because they borrow money at no interest rates from their vendors. Because if you want to sell a Walmart, you got to give them net 60 or net 90. So again, you're really the reason they buy product from anybody is it's because they're actually buying money for no money, right? So they're willing to pay you a little bit more on something they could go build themselves, but they get the money. And they don't have to pay the money. So it's a mathematical edge for them to keep vendors on. But as you've ever, if you've known anybody who's ever been a vendor with Walmart, okay, who's selling them a regular product that is a manufactured product, eventually they get knocked out because that's just what Walmart does. And again, I don't blame them. I mean, you know, but they do take the small business guy out and they do stick it up their ass. That's just, again, you want to be in bed with Walmart? That's one of the things. Now, I used to sell Walmart. But I would not sell Walmart in the United States. I used to sell Walmart in Mexico and Walmart in Canada because I didn't want to deal with the BS in the States. But, and again, I sold a product that did not have, that could not be manufactured. It was a closeout product or a discount item. But anyways, so again, Amazon is retaking over that same business model in the online space. Okay. Again, is it okay? Yeah. I mean, listen, I cannot ever knock anybody for trying to take over the world. And that's what I think you see Amazon doing is they're trying to take over the world, which is cool. You know, hey, again, you can't knock free market and capitalism. I think that that would be, you know, silly for me to think about knocking that because, hey, you know, that's what I believe in. I believe in all of that stuff. It should be, you know, what we do and what we look for. Right. I mean, free market and capitalism is what it's all about. And I'm a big fan. I think that you have to worry about things with Amazon if you're wanting to have some ownership, but as far as you know what they do, I have no issue with the way that they handle their business and the way they built it. Okay, they just keep taking over and building and taking over and building, and you know I think that that's pretty cool. You know, again, you got to give them their props. Okay, and speaking of giving their props, you know, Thinkorswim, one of the sponsors here at the Bubba Show. They have swim lessons every day, 10:30 a.m. to 12 Central. They've got the checklist for choosing optionable stocks. Tomorrow on Wednesday, they got creating synthetic option strategy. On Thursday, they got leveraging OCO orders. They also have this new thing, technically speaking, Cindy Faber, spotlights some charts. So that's pretty good. And then there's the plunge from 12:30 to 1:30, okay, which tomorrow they're doing option spotlight. I think it's something that, you know, you check out. They do a great job. We get a break there as well. We can help you out. So if you ever, you know, if you ever need anything, or just email me and I'll help you, you know, check it out with Thinkorswim. And the other thing is that, you know, we have a podcast available for every Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. And those podcasts are found at libertytalk.fm. So make sure you become one of the Bubba Show downloaders. Okay, we've got just past 225,000. So we want to make sure we get you as well. So go check it out. And as well as that, check out BubbaTrade.com. Again, I do a lot of great writing. We've got a lot of good educational programs. And again, I'm not looking for your money. Do you want to come on board? I do great teaching and I've got a great program. If not, no big deal. Check it out. There's a lot of free stuff there as well. But for now, I'm going to step out of a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Ooh.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz hanging out with you. And, you know, I'll tell you, we talked about the big rally, and my goodness gracious. Wow. Scary. And it's even funnier that it opened down lower on Sunday night, which makes it even, you know, a bigger, a more of a funny. Okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, okay, Marcus going to do what Marcus going to do, and we're going to try to trade him the best we can. Okay. But, you know, as you know, I talked a little bit about yesterday, but I just came back from Las Vegas. And, you know, I got to tell you something. The more I think about it, the angrier I get, the more I think about it. Because, you know, again, we talk a little about their profit centers and how much they rip you off and screw you on everything. It's not good enough for them that they have the edge to begin with. I mean, they have, obviously, they wouldn't be having casinos if they didn't have a mathematical edge. It's not bad enough that they suck your eyeballs out every time you do something. And also, just before I forget, the cab companies, you know that if you take a cab in Las Vegas and you want to use a charge card, they charge you a $3 fee to use that charge card. So if you had a $10 cab ride, they charge you 30%. And some people don't have cash. I mean, I wouldn't pay them. I mean, I wouldn't do it. And the cab company blames it on the charging company. And of course, we know that's not true because it's a bunch of BS. I mean, you know, charge companies, they're not charging a fee. They charge their overall. So it's really a joke. But back to the actual Vegas. So not only do they take your eyes out everywhere, okay, but now, for the smaller player in blackjack, for example, and most people at least try to play blackjack, they changed blackjack from 3 to 2 to paying 6 to 5. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal because they're taking away part of your edge and every time you get blackjack. Okay. So think about it. If you bet $5 at 6 to 5, you get 6 for 5. So you make an extra buck. At 3 to 2, you get $7.50. Okay, how much is the advantage? It's a pretty huge edge, and they think that nobody notices, nobody cares about it. You know, they keep bumping up rules and keep taking a bigger and bigger piece because apparently the 1.5% that they were making isn't good enough for them. Okay, on the numbers, you know, the 4 or 5% they take on the slot machines isn't good enough for them. The, you know, 6% or so they take on roulette is not good enough for them. Now, not only have they taken all this apart, but now they have raised the limits at all the tables. So if you want to play $5 on a strip casino, there's no $5 tables. So now they're forcing you to play at a $10 table. Now, somebody said, well, no big deal. Well, of course it's a big deal. I mean, you know, again, if you're going to gamble and you're not a gambler, okay, you want to have some fun. Do you want to be forced to bet more than you'd like to? But in the meantime, everywhere there's these signs posted, if gambling is a problem. Well, they're making the problem. They're making you bet more than you want to. Okay? At the dice table, at the blackjack tables, you know, the lure of gambling. I like to gamble. I'm not against it. I think it's fun. Okay? But again, why should they force people to not only now pay for everything and pay through the nose, but now also force you to gamble more than you would like to gamble? I think that's kind of a ridiculous myself. I mean, you know, but I guess we have to say that's corporate America. That's the corporations that are now running the hotels. And that's what they say. I mean, you know, if you're a player back in the old days, you know, you knew somebody, you knew a host, whatever, they take care of you. And it wasn't purely about numbers. Now, everything, they give you a card and they tell you, okay, whatever you play, this is what you get. And there's really not much negotiation. Okay. And they've eliminated a lot of jobs. And they keep doing the same things over and over again. And these hotels just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they keep trying to captivate you and keep you in the lure. And in the meantime, there's really very little true live entertainment, you know, headliners. I mean, you know, back in the day, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Liberace, Donna Summer, Celine Dion. I think she might still be there. But, you know, Magic, David Copperfield, all these big shows were big headliners. And now they don't do that anymore. Most of the shows now are review shows. And again, and they now charge, you know, hundreds of dollars, you know, like everybody else. But so they're taking a business that was meant to make profit in one area and they're making profits and they're killing it everywhere. And I have no problem with them making profits. I'm not saying that. But at least, you know, if you're going to take the edge everywhere, at least give the poor guy a break. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what I'm looking at. I'm saying, hey, look, I get it. I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, do you have to gouge somebody for $20 for pancakes or $7 for a Coca-Cola? Or you know, $17 or $20 for three chicken fingers that you can get at McDonald's for a buck? You know, again, I'm not saying it should be a buck. But, I mean, obviously profit margins are just sick with what they're charging. I mean, you know, and I mean, a breakfast buffet, $54? Really? I mean, you know, it's like how many people spend $54 for breakfast on one? Okay. So, you know, I laugh because, again, it just becomes back to we have this fantasy land of Las Vegas. And then, of course, we have the real economy. And one of the problems is that when things are tough, people do turn to other things like drinking, gambling, and you know they're trying to get lucky, and of course that does a lot more damage than good. But again, I cannot knock the overall casino industry. I think it's a great industry. I think it's a wonderful thing. I just don't like the fact that they take more advantage of it than they have to. I mean, because most people don't understand the games in depth. So they're never going to get down to those narrow odds anyways. I mean, I can get down to, you know, 1.5% underdog in blackjack and 1.5%, 1% dog in craps. Okay. But and that's it. I'm still basically what that really says is that for every dollar I bet, I'm getting back 99 cents, 98 and a half cents. You know, so they're still grinding it out. I mean, that is what it's supposed to be. That's a grind. It's a grinding business. It's kind of like the trading business. You don't expect to get the huge winner on one. Your objective is to keep grinding it out. And that is what they're doing. And that's what, you know, I would like to see. And those are the things that bother me about the whole experience. Again, to me, it had no effect. Okay. Because I didn't pay anyways. But the point is that I feel for the average person, maybe somebody making their first trip to Vegas. My son's going to go to Vegas next year. Okay. And he can't pay those prices. He didn't have that kind of money. Now, he's not going to stay where I stayed. He's going to stay where I usually stay, which it's not like it's like living at home. So he'll have no problem there. But you know, you take people that want to go out and have a good time, and you're taking their eyeballs out in a resort area of, you know, excuse me. I don't want to beat the dead horse. So I will stop beating that horse. So, you know, now we've got, you know, the markets continue to trade in this tight consolidation range. We see these moves, and it goes, we get the ooh and the ah, and here we are. But in the meantime, where are we? We're just really in a market consolidating. And what does a market consolidating mean? That means that it's going up and down, and it really has no direction. And the markets will be breaking out again at some point. But when, we don't know. Excuse me. And we're not going to worry about it because we're going to follow the overall footprint and we're going to continue to rock and roll with the market. Okay. Now, again, I have recommended and I will continue to do so is to be more on the observation side right now because overall, there is not a lot to do. Markets will tell you when they're ready to be active, and this is not the time to be active in the overall market. Why? Because there's no direction. There's no trend. You get in, and if you're wrong, it goes the other way. And even if you're right, it eventually will turn back. And we have to wait until we can get some breakout to see some real action. So right now, we're in what I would consider a rounding top in the overall market. Again, I'm not predicting the end of the world. I never do. I'm just telling you that I think that if you're going to get in the market here, I believe the side to get in is to the short side. And I'm not recommending that you get shorter. I'm saying that certainly I would not be buying here. Now, that does not say that I wouldn't buy a stock like an Apple, you know, at low levels or something like that. Those are things, again, those are independent stocks, not just the overall market. You have to clarify to yourself the general markets and then individual stocks. Because they are different, okay, and they do act differently. And that's something that, so when I talk in general terms in the show here, unless I'm giving you specifics, I'm generally talking about the general markets. Now, just because the general markets are going up or down does not mean that I won't like something to go the opposite way of the general markets based on the footprints that they leave. And that's something that's always important. In the meantime, check out our friends at Thinkorswim. built by traders for traders. Again, I'm a big fan. You know, they do a good job, and they've got the swim lessons, they got plunge lessons, they got everything. Okay, so make sure you check them out at thinkorswim.com or email me and I'll send you some information. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm and you can get you can download the Bubba Show every day, as well as go to bubbatrading.com and check out what we're doing, because we're having some fun and we're doing a lot of good stuff. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
He's so delicious. Yes.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz is my guy, Mike McClone, my analyst, the guy who's been around for almost as long as I have and really understands the markets. What do you say, Mr. McClone?
Hey, Todd. Hello, and thanks for having me back.
Well, of course, I got to have you back. I need somebody to argue with. You know?
Cool.
It's all good. So, Mr. McClone, we've got, you know, now they're celebrating last week's retail sales earning growth. I don't know what they're celebrating. Can you tell me? Can you help me out with that?
Well, the number was actually quite good. It was expected up 0.8, get out 1.3%. But what I find quite shocking was really how the market reacted. And sometimes that's how you and I know markets do work, is they don't always care about the number. Oh, it's old data. We don't really care. We're going to go where we want to go. And the stock market went down. Bonds prices went up. Bond yields went up. Gold and silver started out the day down and ended up up. Now, that was Friday, and then the big number. So, and the week as a whole, the biggest story and star of the week was the substantial increase or decline in government bond yields. And just Friday alone, the TLT, you know, the main bond ETF, was up almost a full percent. We had supply, means the government auctioned a lot of 10-year note bonds and 30-year bonds last week. And the market did quite well, so it's like it's voting for, it's looking ahead. And we know those, the retail sales data is old news, although that's a good number. The problem was, remember the March number came out, was I think it was a February number came out in March, and it was initially came out strong, and then it was revised completely down. But one thing that's significant too also last week is the actual retailers stocks were very poor performers. And one key thing was the some of these inventory levels in clothing stores, the highest inventory to sales ratios ever, meaning they have a lot of supply and they're not selling it.
Well, why would you expect, you know, what I don't understand is why are we expecting a different result? Those sales, they may be good compared to what was expected, but those sales suck. And they're not very good overall. And certainly they're not good if you look at what's been done to this economy to try to stimulate it. You cannot be happy with those numbers based on what has been done to try to make them better.
I think that's the key caveat, is here we are, who knows how many years into QE and zero interest rates and the Fed's focusing on nothing but higher rates, which was one of the key things about last week. There was some hawkish Fed speak coming out, and I think they did mention, they might not have used the term specifically, and that is irrational expectations or
exuberance. Yeah.
But they did point out the markets are getting a little frothy, and they were hawkish and talking nothing about tightening. And I still think if you look at things like the bond market and like the gold silver ratio and the 2 year to 10 year note spread, it's just a very good indication. That was the narrowest since 2007, and that's the yield curve, and that's just a pretty significant sign of bad things. Markets looking ahead, and it's not seeing what the Fed's seeing.
Explain that yield curve. I do it all the time, but I want you to explain it because it's important. Now, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it certainly has some significant meaning. Explain what the flattening yield curve is happening, what it means generally, and explain why it's flattening, please.
Well, let's look at it this way. The front part of the curve is the Fed funds futures, and the Fed raised rates. So that rate went up. It went from basically zero to essentially 0.38%, so a little less than 0.5%. And at the same time, bond yields, which is, let's say, the 10-year note yields, went from almost 2.3% to where they are now, 1.7. And so that difference between the front part of the curve, where the Fed is, and where the bond yield is a curve. And when it flattens, meaning when it comes in, when bond yields are declining more rapidly, or when bond yields are declining and short rates are going up, it's generally an indication that the bond market looks ahead and says, whoa, we see slower growth, disinflation or deflation, yet the Fed is seeing something that who knows what they're seeing, but it's an indication, it's a leading indication of a lack of economic strength, deflation, and economic weakness. And the same as you can look at the gold-silver ratio is kind of looking at the same thing. Gold platinum is doing the same thing. Gold copper all kind of indicate the same thing that this flattening curve is. Bottom line is, bond yields are about real money and investors, and those yields are coming down not because they expect inflation and the economy to pick up like the Fed does.
Well, the Fed has no clue what they're doing. Again, I know you don't like to discuss it, so I won't go into that, but they have no clue. It's silly. We got over $4 trillion, and they're celebrating 1.3% retail sales and not discussing how many people are going out of business because we're way overstaffed and we don't have enough people to support nor handle this economy, and all they've done is thrown away $4 trillion. That's the bottom line, and I cannot imagine it being put any other way. And all I see is the automakers selling out their future for sales now. Again, there's a lot of problems here, and which brings us to, this is a bubble. I'm still calling this a bubble. What do you say?
Well, let's look at just I think that's an appropriate term. If you just looked at the total return in the U.S. stock market over the last 4 years, the U.S. S&P 500 is up, 30-40% or so? But the average global index, the EFA index, is essentially unchanged or actually down a little, which is a clear indication that the U.S. market's a little bit offsides and out of place. And then you look back at what drove it. Okay, sure, we had the economic recovery to some extent here, but the key thing was QE3. We had QE1 and 2, and that helped us get us out of the pits. But QE3 just really blasted off the U.S., while the rest of the world never really took out those pre-2008 highs. Yet we're, the pre-2008 high in S&P 500 was 1,500, and here we are at almost near 2,100, and the rest of the world never did that. It's just a clear indication that something is a bit offsides, and hopefully the biggest risk is the U.S. stock market, and that's, I think, the best way to really assess it is just put it down quantitatively. Here's how far we've gone, and now if you're the Fed, what do? If you're tightening, the market's going to start giving back basically some of those returns that we all knew the Fed pulled forward. So basically it seems like the bill's coming due, and there's certain markets that already kind of figured that out, and I think the key markets have been the bond market well before this year, but the gold and silver markets this year are now really starting to say, hey, that bill's starting to come due from the Fed getting a little too aggressive and doing too much QE when they probably should have just let markets seek their own levels.
Okay, now, Mr. Fed, okay, if what you're saying is correct, why the hell do they care about the stock market? What, that is not in the charter, that is not in the Fed's interest is what the stock market does. That's not monetary policy. So you tell me why they're looking and talking about the stock market, please.
Yeah, well, I have to admit that was one of my key takeaways from reading Ben Bernanke's book. I actually read it twice, and that was how often he or they mention how they would do something and then see how the stock market reacted. And you and I both know one or two days sometimes in the equity market might just, you know, any big move sometimes might just mean some big hedge funds are offsides or doing some big trading. It might not be that significant, or some high frequency traders. But I was found that a bit disconcerting. And I think it's one of those key things that really brings me back to something I'm very concerned about in the market, and that is this concept that all the professionals out there in the world are supposed to say past performance is not indicative of future returns. And then at the same time, within a few sentences, will say the best place in the long term to be is in the stock market. I agree it has been, but I'm really afraid that's been really supported by the stock market the last, you know, 20 years is starting to come true. And I think the main reason the Fed worries about the stock market is because it's just a key leading indicator. You know, if it goes down a lot, it means, oh, we're going into potential recession and they probably need to come save us. But how often can they save us, and to what point does it not help anymore? And maybe that's where we're getting to very soon.
All right. Now, so what was Ben Bernanke's answer to himself about why they talked about the market so much?
Well, I don't remember him. I just remember him mentioning so much they would make a move and then say, oh, the stock market was up. He always mentioned the Dow, not the S&P 500. We both know the Dow is kind of insignificant. But, you know, oh, it was up 500 points, and then we made a statement or something, and the Dow was down 500 points, meaning it misinterpreted what we wanted to convey. And I'm more afraid of things like,
I'm not letting you off the hook in this question. You're going to answer this one way or the other. Okay. Why do they give a crap about the stock market? What is it their business of what the stock market does? Because all that shows me is that they're trying to manipulate assets, and that's not the way free markets work. So why do they care about the stock market?
Well, exactly. And I think the best way to answer that is yes. I mean, that's something for them to answer, and I don't want to answer for them, partly because I think we've got to the point now, because they have been so concerned about, I think it's just the stock market as a reflecting of the overall economy. When it really crashes like it did in the long-term capital management in 1998 and 2008 and all these other, and, you know, after the dot-com bubble, it's just a clear indication of overall condition in the U.S. economy. And when it really collapses, they think it's their, you know, that's virtually every single time we've had a collapse, the Fed's been there to ease and help out and make sure we're not having major problems. But at some point, to answer their question, you're going to have to let them answer it. But to me, it's more about now, where are we? Because they've been so concerned about the last few years, and we're at such lofty levels. Can they save us anymore? And it might be come to the point now where we have to really look for other assets. And if we're not looking for them, the market's already doing it for us. And that's where the key thing indicator for me for the last almost 2.5 years now has been this bond market has been relentlessly declining in yields when every expert out there says yields are supposed to be going up.
And you've been on that the whole time. Mike McClone, my man, my friend, my analyst. We're going to stop by here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast of The Bubba Show. Join the hundreds of thousands of people that are doing it now. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Mike McClone. We'll be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I was proud. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz back with my guy, Mike McClone, one of the best analysts that I know on the street, and really kind of tells like it is. But, all right, Mr. McClone, I got to go back. I can't let it die. You know, I just, that's the kind of guy I am. I don't care why you think the Fed's doing it. I don't know what the Mike McClone, the reason I talk to you all the time, because you're so smart, what's your opinion of why they do it?
I think the main reason is to help provide stability in financial markets. And I, you know, just to get your blood boiling a little bit, I think Ben Bernanke and company, in the aftermath of the 2008 crisis, were a bit, in some ways, heroic. But then the QE3 was a big problem. But I think the key thing, you just look at things like the stock market crash in 1987, you look at the big bubble burst in 1998 when long-term capital management. But I think the main purpose is they wanted to provide, to at least avoid too much volatility and major discombobulation in financial markets. And that's part of what their duty is in to help support banks. But I think, unfortunately, they became too subject to the stock market. So here we are, as I say now. We're stuck. Now we're way at lofty levels. The Fed's tightened. They pulled so much returns forward so much. And this, I mean, just this returns we've had since 2010 have been very high, averaging 15-16%, then it's time for that bill to come due. And now what are we supposed to do from a Fed standpoint? And I think there's just nothing left. That's why we have to look for alternative assets. And don't have to take my opinion for it. To me, that's what the bond market's been telling us since.
That's right.
And, it's time 2014.
It's time to end the Fed. No, it's time to do something new. All right, I got to ask you a question. We haven't ever talked about this before, but, you know, right now and throughout the world, every major economy is trying to get rid of their largest currency bill. Okay. What do you make out of that? Anything?
Buy gold.
Okay. That's a good answer.
If you want a straight answer, the first thing I think of when I hear that is buy gold or silver. Any type of... inevitable it's going to happen, and that's just reducing the amount of paper currency and making things more electronic. And you just hear these stories in people buying safes in Japan and eliminating the large denomination Japanese notes. I mean, simplest answer is just buy gold.
Okay. I can live with that. Now,
because when people are hoarding cash, well, you might as well get some of the ultimate quintessential cash there is, and that's, you know, quintessential currency, and that's gold. I mean, you got to have some of that.
I don't disagree. Now, what are you seeing, you know, going forward here, just in general? What is your synopsis or your prediction? You know, again, we're not going to hold you to it. I'm just curious what you're looking at. We know that you like the bond market. We know you like gold. We know you're a little bit bearish the stock. Not necessarily bearish, might not be the right word, but you do believe that there's probably a sell-off somewhere near. I mean, and we know, you and I both know that markets don't announce themselves when they're going to do this. But how do you kind of see this playing out in your mind? If you were to kind of draw a picture, you know, what are you looking for? What are some of the key triggers that will force you to believe something is amiss?
Let me. The best way I like to answer that question is bring you back to what I look as an analogy, and that was 1998. I remember it was the summer, and it's getting to the summer of 1998. And I was an analyst trader, and I had customers, and kept noticing that virtually every single the Fed was tightening, and the longer end of the Eurodollar curve, which represents, you know, short rates, kept, you know, these long term, they kept ticking higher, meaning indicating when the market was expecting rates to go higher, and it was supposed to be happening, the market was doing the opposite. When experts were saying the market was doing the opposite, just like the bond market is now. And everything. So with my customers, a few of them thought I was crazy. I guess they said, hey, guys, something's wrong here. We have to start buying calls in Eurodollar. So we did it, and a few of them expired. And then finally, what happened was long-term capital management blew up. And some of these calls we bought just increased, you know, 10 times. And it was just a prudent analysis of the market was telling us something different than what it should have been doing. And that's what I see now. And it may be, in a way, unfortunately, it might be 5 to 10 times the size and the significance, and that is the bond market. And the key thing was 2014. The yields are supposed to go up. Commodities were supposed to go up, and they didn't. And then when the Fed tapered, yields were supposed to go up, and they didn't. And then the Fed tightening, yields were supposed to go up, and they didn't. In fact, they're doing the opposite. To me, that market's telling me there's something big brewing here, and I've got to go with it, and that is stay long the bond market until he proves me wrong, get long gold and silver, and stay away from the stock market, because I don't know how it's going to play out, but I do know that key most important market in the world, which is, by the way, the most liquid market in the planet, keeps increasing when every expert in the world says it shouldn't. That's got to mean something. And fine, let me lose some money in my bonds and the whole world's safer. For now, it's telling me something big is brewing. I don't know what it is, but I want to be protected because the market's telling me something's not right here.
Now, that's funny. You and I have never talked about that before, but I tell everybody there's a big move brewing. I can't say it's going to be down for sure. I do believe it will be down, but it could be up. But there is a big move brewing, just the way you can see the way everything's trading. And, you know, you and I have never talked about that, but I see the same thing, that there is a very big move coming. And one of the things you can always want to make sure is that you have some safety or a hedge or something against adverse reaction or adverse action to market. So, you know, we see a lot of things happening, and we still have this deflationary problem. But the dollar, that should be somewhat of a concern as well, because obviously if they do tighten, which they shouldn't, but if they do, the dollar's going to scream, and that's going to kill more things happening. What are you seeing with the dollar, Mike?
Well, last week was one of the best weeks for the dollar of the year. It was up, I don't remember how much, maybe 2 to 3% watching. I like to watch up the UUP, the ETF, the dollar index was up a couple percent. But to me, the significance is the dollar index has peaked around 100. It's been declining now for a while. And the key strength factor of the dollar has been expectations of Fed tightening way out forward in the curve. And to me, that's the biggest inflection point and has the most opportunity to flip the other way. The thing we've talked about is some of the best opportunities are against the consensus. Now, if the dollar continues stronger, that's bad for gold. That means it's probably the U.S. economy is doing great. But it's more likely it's going to probably continue to revert. And I think it's more likely to coincide with the Fed being one and done and potentially moving to easing. And that would be a shock to the system. The market, that's nowhere near priced in. I mean, Japan's expected to ease. Europe's expected ease. China's easing. Everybody's adding liquidity. But the one key weak, you know, one key sore thumb has been, no, the Fed, the U.S. is doing great and the Fed's tightening. One Fed tightening where you and I had that great argument where I think ultimately you're going to end up being right. The Fed's going to end up easing. That's the biggest, I think, potential paradigm shift when we have to be aware of. And if and or when that happens, that means everything has shifted. Got to be long gold, stay long bonds, and I hope I'm wrong, but it's what I see brewing potentially happening, and the dollar will be a key factor. But also remember, the dollar is measured against other currencies. It's not measured against gold. What's the quintessential currency? Really, it's gold.
No, I don't disagree with that. So I do have this question. We talk about gold and bonds a lot. Don't you think, in your opinion, that you should always have some holding in gold and bonds? And there should always be some portion of your portfolio, even in the bulls of all bull markets. Don't you think that's the right way to be?
Yeah, I have to admit, yes, but you and me as more professionals, there's times I say I have no desire to hold those assets, and I have to admit that's the way I am kind of about the stock market right now. I'll pick selective stocks that I think are, you know, good to hold long term, but overall I have to do what I thought in 2007 and I thought in 1999. I'll wait for a flush and pick up better levels and things like that. And then I look at assets that I think are rather attractive, mainly notably the bond market because everybody hates it, and I just look at the rest of the world. I see nothing but lower yields, so it should be attractive. And I look at assets like gold and silver and they just look so attractive. So I have to stick with overweight, and I just cannot touch the stock market right now, unfortunately. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope
you don't hope you're wrong.
I fully expect I'll be able to get a lot of assets in the stock market at much lower prices in a later date.
You don't hope you're wrong, because the truth of the matter is, and for the health and wealth of the market needs to sell off to make it healthier. I mean,
I'm afraid, like Martin Berg said last week, the famous analyst, is he suspects a 30-year bear market in the stock market, and I could see that. I'm afraid that could happen. Basically, he says it's just not going to keep up with inflation. And if you look at what the Fed's done, how the market's responded in the last 30 years, it's been a tremendous market. And then you have to look back and say past performance is not indicative of future returns. Maybe it's time for that bill to be due. I hope not, but that's what he's expecting. He's quite good.
And I will leave it at that. This has been my man, my friend, Mike McClone. Mike, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me. Good talking to you.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast every day. And for today, that'll do it. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Wake up, Maggie. I
think I got some. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.